your life today.
Bomb scares across the U.S. Oh, yeah, I said bomb scares for real. Brutal one in Times Square. We're going to jump to that in just a second, but that's not the only thing doing some damage. It's also to the psyche, but physically doing some damage anyway. It's the oil spill. It's out of control. What a catastrophe. Probably will go down as our worst in history, that platform sinking at the Gulf of Mexico. And who knows, they're saying at this point it could actually hit the shores of Florida, and that's a shame. One thing, and it's terrible to say it's reaching the shores of Louisiana and what's happening there and how they cannot contain this. But another thing entirely to talk about where it's going to travel to. Somebody needs to kick BP in the rear end. At least that's what the Secretary of the Interior thinks, and we're going to let you hear that, too, along the way. Hope you had a great weekend in the middle of whatever was happening in your life. Did you watch the Kentucky Derby? I want to thank everybody for playing our trifecta challenge. That was a great job. So many of you tried to get in on the phone lines, and then you also sent emails as well with your guesses. Nobody hit the trifecta. Who won the race? What was it like? Was there excitement? Well, there certainly was excitement, and there was weather that wreaked havoc with this year's Derby, to be sure. Kate Delaney is always sitting here in the big chair, the big girl seat on America Tonight. But hey, you can be part of this little old show. All you have to do is throw in your 2 cents. I'm going to give out the digits right from the get-go. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Let's talk about the big scare. Now, let me list what was found in an SUV by Times Square. Specifically, an area I know pretty well, and probably some of you do too, even if you've been a tourist there. 45th near 7th Avenue, right there in that area, there was a Nissan Pathfinder with nobody in it. It was left with the engine running. The hazard lights were on and smoke started pouring out of the car. A vendor saw it and flagged down the cops. The bomb squad eventually showed up. They found 3 propane tanks, 2 filled 5-gallon gasoline containers, 2 clocks with batteries, fireworks, and a whole lot more, wires galore. So who was trying to set off a bomb? Was it a terrorist? Was it a group of terrorists? Was it the Al-Qaeda folks? Was it the Taliban? Who was it? Who done it? And the evacuation was smooth. That's the good part. Boom, boom, bang. Everybody got out as fast as possible. Here's what New York City's police commish says, and he right away was pretty quick earlier in the day to say, this happened Saturday at 6 p.m. There's no evidence of a Taliban link to this failed bomb of this SUV, but he's really not ruling anyone out. Here he talks about what they found, what happened.
In the rear cargo area of the Pathfinder were 3 propane tanks weighing between 15 and 17 pounds. They are the kind used in backyard barbecues. One of them had M88 fireworks attached to its side, some of which detonated inside the vehicle. And M88 is legal in some states, including Pennsylvania. On the back seat of the vehicle were 2 full 5-gallon red plastic gasoline containers. Between them was a 16-ounce can filled with between 20 and 30 M88 devices. 2 clocks on the back seat floor of the vehicle were connected by wires to that can, and possibly to the gun locker as well. In light of the lethal potential of this combination, the department evacuated thousands of people. Of course, if this had detonated, it, in my judgment, would have caused casualties, a significant fireball with, I'm told that the vehicle itself would have at least been cut in half, and you have large numbers of pedestrians in that area. So, yeah, we were lucky that it didn't detonate.
Yeah, lucky indeed, and that's the deal. And at this point, what has happened now moving forward, you have the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force in New York, the NYPD, you know, anyone who could possibly respond, and they did do a great job, the bomb techs, all that stuff, immediately on the scene. The evacuation was pretty smooth. I just was in Times Square a month and a half ago, and it was crazy. There were so many people sardined in there with the theater district and everything that's happening there and how some of the areas are closed off. And the area at 45th and 7th is really a big feeder street where a lot of people, there's a lot of traffic there. There's no doubt about that. So the investigation is happening at this point, but really it looks as though there is some videotape with possible suspect on it. The police are now saying that, which is great news because, of course, you take that video, you enhance it, and you go through the rigmarole of trying to identify, the important rigmarole of trying to identify who that person is. They're looking closely at it to seeing that they might have captured this image of the suspect. Who's the person responsible, which would then tell another tale as to possibly why was it a lone nutball, you know, American homegrown person, was somebody with ties to even Al-Qaeda, which has pretty much been ruled out, but they can't say that for sure. The video shows a guy in his 40s. He keeps looking back over his shoulder, and he looks like he's racing to get away from the Pathfinder. He's got a couple of different color shirts on. They can tell he's got a dark colored shirt on, and then he's got another one underneath it. He apparently took off the shirt. They could see that on the video. He put a darker one into the bag that he was carrying. And this video was about a half a block or so where that Pathfinder was parked, as I mentioned, on 45th Street in Times Square. And they also have some videotape from a tourist who thought he might have caught the guy on camera too. So they're looking at all of these things to try to figure out if they can identify the person. Very scary when you think of, as you just heard, the commish there talking about what they found inside and what could have happened there. The tanks had more than M88 firecrackers attached to the side, and some of them actually went off inside the car in the propane tanks. What could have happened there? 17 pounds or so. And then the gasoline container. So it's obvious what the person was trying to do. It's just a question of why was he trying to do it? Who was it that did this? And the reason the Taliban came up is you think terrorism when you think of something like that anyway. That's automatically the default position, right? But there was a Pakistani Taliban video that started to come up on the internet early on Sunday, and the group, whether they're just latching onto this or not, took responsibility for the attack that wasn't. But there is no evidence at this point to support their crazy claims that it was what they did. The group was saying in the video that it was revenge for their leaders killed by the American troops, and that this was what was going to happen here in an attack back at the United States in New York City. But again, no proof of that at this point. They locked down Times Square about 6:30. Thank goodness the T-shirt vendor saw the SUV, knew it was suspicious, went after a mounted police officer, and then the rest was history, as people feel like they were pretty lucky to get away from that area. Coming up on the flip side, what about the oil spill? We'll talk about that and more on this New York situation. Stay with us here on ATN.
UtopiaSilver.com believes, as the Declaration of Independence states, that our rights come from God, not from government. The only lawful purpose of any government is to protect and secure the rights of the people, and no man or government has the authority to take what has been given to us by God. Among these rights are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. And America's government has ceased to be the protector of liberty and of the people's God-given rights. But we the people can return America to greatness if we are willing to stand up and reassert our stolen rights. We ask that you join Utopia Silver in changing America's course in history. To save on health care and improve your health, call Utopia Silver at 888-213-4338. For a limited time, new customers will receive 50% off all colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about Down Home Value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. Put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
Oh, my sinuses! They feel like they'll explode!
Sinus pressure, sinus headaches that keep you up at night. You've struggled for years. You've tried everything to get relief, but your sinus distress just keeps coming back and robbing you of the healthy life you deserve. Sound familiar? Well, you're not alone. Statistics show that 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress. Fact is, 67 products merely treat the symptoms and don't get to the cause of your sinus problem. Now there's a solution that's safe and doctor-recommended. SinoFresh Homeopathic Antiseptic Nasal Spray. It's the only patent-protected nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of your sinusitis. No alcohol, no rebound congestion, no drug interactions, and easy to use. Don't go another day just treating symptoms. Take control of your sinus health now and get SinoFresh Homeopathic Antiseptic Nasal Spray and get the relief you deserve. Go to buysinofresh.com. That's B-U-Y, sinofresh.com. Or call 888-906-3636. Breathe easy. Breathe free. Get SinoFresh today. It works.
In New York, I have to say, and that's why I said relating to all of you listening. If you've ever even just been a tourist in New York City, you know Times Square. You see it when the ball drops every year, and many of you live there, live near there, go into the city, go into that area. I spent a ton of time there just recently, as I mentioned, and boy, that would be disastrous for the amount of people that could possibly be harmed. Good news is it was contained, didn't go off. Now let's get whoever the SOB is. So the police are combing over the video, like I said, and that SUV as well, trying to come up with any clues. The videotape is key, though, is they've got an image that's pretty accurate, dead on. You would think that that would help, although since we know nothing about this person, maybe they wiggled out of the city. That's certainly not far from the realm of thinking that's possible. I'm sure they did. And who knows where they are now at this point. We don't even know where we are at this point when it comes to the Gulf. It's about assessing the damage. And the scariest thing that I heard is that all of this spill and where it's headed is in the direction of Florida, ultimately, because of what's going on with the waters. You've got these rough seas, so it's hard to work on trying to contain the leak, and they just can't do it. I mean, they're dealing with a pretty much unprecedented disaster, certainly to the environment. And, you know, the president, for his part, has to say something about this and has to talk about the fact that BP, it's on their shoulders. This is their deal. It's their platform. If it's $8 billion or if it's $10 billion or however much it is, they're going to have to pay for the cleanup. But the scariest thing is the fact that it's a much wider area, and it's going to be very close to commercial and recreational fishing for at least 10 days. It's going to be in and around those areas. You got scientists on the scene. They're looking at the water, doing the sampling thing. The feds are all over this. The seafood that's harvested at this point is safe. That's today. But God forbid you eat some of that seafood 3-4 days from now. A lot of oil could spread since stopping the 3 leaks from the rig that blew up and then sank could take up to, at this point, they're saying 3 months. 3 months. So how far does the oil spread by then? Here was the president's take on this awful disaster in Louisiana.
I think the American people are now aware, certainly the folks down in the Gulf are aware, that we're dealing with a massive and potentially unprecedented environmental disaster. The oil that is still leaking from the well could seriously damage the economy and the environment of our Gulf states, and it could extend for a long time. It could jeopardize the livelihoods of thousands of Americans who call this place home. And that's why the federal government has launched and coordinated an all-hands-on-deck relentless response to this crisis from day one. After the explosion on the drilling rig, it began with an aggressive search and rescue effort to evacuate 115 people, including 3 badly injured. And my thoughts and prayers go out to the family of the 11 workers who have not been found. When the drill unit sank on Thursday, we immediately and intensely investigated by remotely operated vehicles the entire 5,000 feet of pipe that's on the floor of the ocean. In that process, 3 leaks were identified, the most recent coming just last Wednesday evening. As Admiral Allen and Secretary Napolitano have made clear, we've made preparations from day one to stage equipment for a worst-case scenario.
Well, here's your worst-case scenario. It's right there in your lap. And how crazy is this after Obama calls for new offshore drilling, a concession by environmentalists who weren't happy by this. Now with this tragedy off the Gulf Coast, every day it gets worse and worse. And the doom and gloom scenarios, they're worse, too. Let me tell you, they're like wicked rumors that catch on like wildfire, and so much of it is true in looking and seeing and hearing what the scientists and others who are right there in the thick of it are saying. Is there any doubt? Is there any doubt at this point when you talk about a climate bill? Forget it. A climate bill, first of all, a climate bill that they're trying to push through, it already goes through the House, now through the Senate. Anything with cap and trade, you throw in this offshore drilling, I can't believe that this would not kill that. I cannot believe it. Because you can bet that there would be a lot of dissent about the offshore drilling. I would call it a serious flatline. You know, when you look at somebody who's hooked up to a heart monitor, I mean, this baby is dead. You have both New Jersey Congress people and both senators there who are saying, we're pulling our support if offshore drilling is included in this bill. And now they've got backup because of this accident. And the whole idea of the bill, it's supposed to curb the so-called massive emissions of pollution-causing gases that are ultimately blamed for global warming. So they were going to introduce this on Monday. We were going to talk about it. We're going to have a bunch of people on there. We're going to introduce it on Monday, but it's postponed. And they're calling the postponement an unrelated reason. The bill is supposed to cut emissions of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases, right? 17% below 2005 levels by 2020. And it will also expand what we've been talking about a lot, domestic production of oil, natural gas, and, of course, nuclear power. Remember the ramp up to do those 2 power plants in Georgia. But the lift of a drilling ban couldn't have worse timing at this point when what is going on in the Gulf of Mexico and what's happening just, you know, not too far from Florida, especially if it hits Florida, when you see this uncontrolled spill day after day after day in the Gulf of Mexico, I think that bill's dead. And then it's also a question of what happens with offshore drilling, this expanded drilling. I think you're going to see a bunch of people who have votes that count reconsider whether or not they're going to support drilling. And it's a layup for certain people. It's a layup for a Democrat like Bill Nelson, because Florida, baby, they don't want it there. And he says it's DOA as far as I'm concerned. But then you got cats like Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, who's saying he's not going to flinch on this. He's not blinking. That, sure, we've had problems with other things. In fact, he gave an analogy to the local newspaper saying it's like cars. If you had a car design that was flawed and you had problems with it, you don't stop driving. Toyota. And also, too, he threw up the idea that the Challenger accident was terrible. You had a teacher on board. It was terrible from the perspective. It was heartbreaking for so many people. But we didn't scrap the space program, so why panic and say forget offshore drilling? At this point, I don't think there's any way that the president is going to back off his stance, the plan to expand drilling to other areas. What will happen is it'll just constantly be pushed back on BP. They're paying for it. It's their mistake. It's their platform. We're watching it. We're doing whatever we can. All those things are what you're going to continue to hear out of Washington. But boy, the environmentalists, if they ever needed something to stand on, they got it now. I mean, hey, here's what happens. Now you want to lift this moratorium? What do you think can happen all the way from New Jersey and Delaware and all the way down the Atlantic coast and ultimately to Florida? And the question becomes, hey, how risky is the offshore oil drilling biz? How risky is this? For years, what the oil industry has been able to say, because they've had a good safety record from the platforming perspective, that not that there was never any accidents, but they've been able to say, look what's happened the past 10 years and the 10 years before that, and we're on top of this, and we have ways to plug up leaks, and then something like this happens that you cannot plug up, that they have not had any success with, of course, with that platform flying on top of it, and the disastrous results of trying to plug leaks that just won't be plugged at this point. I mean, this is an incredible disaster. We're going to lighten the load right here in our first hour of America Tonight to start the week off. Talk a little Hollywood. Yeah, some Hollywood stories. That's my favorite kind. We go back into the vault with an authority on such things. Hang with us.
Get incredible grip, no matter what the conditions, when you wear MaxFit gloves. Everyone from boaters, fishermen, mechanics, plumbers, farmers, senior citizens, and gardeners are all wearing MaxFit gloves for better grip. MaxFit gloves are made with thin glove technology that is ultra-thin, breathable, will reduce muscle fatigue when planting gardens, pulling weeds, or anywhere you need a more youthful grip. Watch incredible MaxFit gloves videos online at MaxFitGloves.com. MaxFit gloves improve dry grip strength by up to 37% and improve your grip up to 400%. Better than bare hands in wet or oily conditions. If arthritis has crippled your grip, or if you work with your hands and depend on a good grip, then MaxFit gloves are for you. Right now, get two free pair of MaxFit gloves when you go to maxfitgloves.com, maxfitgloves.com, and use promo code radio, or call 1-877-552-5206. That's 1-877-552-5206. MaxFit gloves, incredible grip in any conditions.
You're listening to GCN, Genesis Communication Radio Network.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Say goodbye to clogged gutters and the dangerous job of dangling from a ladder to clean them, and say hello to the gutter brush. I recommend this effective, affordable, do-it-yourself solution because it works. Imagine a giant cylinder-shaped brush that fills your gutter, providing continuous 360-degree protection by blocking leaves and debris while allowing water to flow right through. Installation is as simple as sliding the gutter brush section into your existing gutter. It works with any roof or gutter type and doesn't require any tool for insulation. Don't make another bad investment by spending thousands of dollars to keep your gutters flowing. In most cases, just the $300 to $400 will protect your entire home, and you can do it yourself. Trust me, this is a great product. Just visit gutterbrush.com today or call 888-397-9433. That's gutterbrush.com, 888-397-9433.
As the U.S. and the world slip slowly into economic and financial gridlock, some economists predict a global financial meltdown and economic collapse worse than we have ever seen. Don't wait for the edicts to start coming out of Washington, D.C. before you begin to fill your pantry. Prepare for financial and economic Armageddon now. Ready Reserve Food has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest and dehydrated foods for nearly 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish, with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Many companies do not even offer a catalog, but we will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Call 800-453-2202. That's 800-453-2202. Or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us to prepare for financial and economic Armageddon now at 800-453-2202 for your free catalog now.
Favorites, David Duchovny, speaking of Hollywood, and Californication, a show that I'm a big, big fan of. Why is that coming back? Anyway, that was the theme song from it. How cool is that? Coming up on our show in a later hour, Obama versus Leno. Yeah, the Correspondents' Dinner. We're going to let you hear little snippets, and you decide who was funnier. Joining us now, Stephen Shohat, and he has written a book that a lot of you would love to read because you like the stories behind the stories. That's the fun stuff when it comes to Hollywood, right? And the book is called Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends, Legends of the Movies. Raise your hand, because I'm looking in my infrared glasses right now and I can see the hands across America. If you are a fan of John Wayne movies, if you've gone back, I know some of us are too young to actually have seen them when they unfolded, but if you've gone back into the vault and watched some of the old Duke movies, there's some brilliant cinema there. And Stephen's got a great story about John Wayne and the staff of the Harvard Lampoon on the campus in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Joining us from our virtual green room, Stephen. Stephen, hello, how are you?
Hey, how are you, Kate? Thanks for having me on again.
Thanks so much for coming back on. It's been way too long. So I'm excited that you have this book out because I think it's the stories, and obviously you know this, having written forever and ever about Hollywood things, people like the stories. They want to hear the stories behind the stars, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. And what I tried to do, you know, was not do anything too lurid, you know, try and find really fun stuff. Like the story you're referring to, for example, is when 1974 John Wayne was promoting the movie McHugh, and the Harvard Lampoon, they sent him an invitation saying that you know, they'd like to meet him face-to-face in Harvard Square at high noon and engage in an intellectual debate. And they said that John Wayne was a complete fraud. And John Wayne said, well, you know, I'd be happy to go to the pseudo-intellectual swamps of Harvard Square. And he showed the movie, and then he engaged in a question-and-answer session, and he didn't have any script writer, so it was all off the cuff, and they just loved him. And at one point, one of the students raised his hand and said, don't tell me that phony toupee, or where'd you get that phony toupee? And John Wayne said, son, this hair is real. It's not mine, but it's real. And then afterwards, they all sat down for dinner, and they had a great time. And John Wayne was very ill, you know, gout, lung cancer, host of problems. But he later said that day was, he only had 5 years to live, but he later said that day in Harvard was the greatest day of his life.
Yeah, that's a great story. I love that. And, you know, like I said, you know Hollywood. You used to be a professional tour guide. Is this, and you've done other books. We've talked to you before. Did you have your own little fascination about movie stars, or what led you down that path?
I am a tour guide. I'm still giving the tours. And the thing was, when I started being a tour guide, you know, it was really, well, what do you do? You know, I didn't have a script like the Universal Studios people do. So being a tour guide, you know, it's an individual thing. And I decided early on, I wanted to make the tours as anecdotal as possible. So I just collected this huge catalog of anecdotes, and the idea behind the book and my other two previous projects, which were actually audio books, was that the stories could be told anywhere, that you know, they could go beyond the tour bus, and so that's, you know, what led me to a bunch of different projects, but this is the biggest thing I've ever done. This book, Hollywood Stories, it has a huge all-star cast of characters, but you know, it's looking for fun or wild things that happen. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and it just like, for example, one of the stories was 1917, a young soldier, he goes to see a Charlie Chaplin movie, and he's really impressed. He says, you know, this little man is a subversive. He kicks authority figures in the rear, and yet the audience isn't threatened by him. Why is that? It's the mustache. The mustache makes him seem like a harmless clown. And you know, this soldier was a bit of a thinker, and he had recently gotten an edict from his superior officer saying that he had to shave his mustache because it was too long. There might be a chemical attack. He might have to fit into a gas mask. So he thought, oh, I'll kill two birds with one stone. I'll shave my mustache and grow a mustache like Charlie Chaplin. And that way people will trust me. And the name of the soldier, Adolf Hitler.
Wow. That's a loaded story to be sure. Wow. How about that? You go from that one to take it to from 1917 all the way up to Johnny Depp, and I love his movies, and people want to know more about Johnny Depp, but he's kind of elusive. I think I've heard he's very friendly when he does talk shows or he is promoting a movie, but people don't necessarily know a lot about Johnny Depp. What do you have on Depp?
Well, first of all, let me say that I saw him in person interact with the fans. I was there actually giving a tour the day he got his handprints and footprints at the Chinese Theater to promote the movie Corpse Bride, the animated feature he did a couple years back with Tim Burton. And I saw him interact with the fans, and you know, he was just as friendly as could be. So all that stuff you read, at least on that particular day, it all seems to be true. I also know people have worked with him and just say the nicest things about him. Now, one of the stories I talk about was how miserable he was on 21 Jump Street. And by the way, Kate, I got to tell you, when he was getting his handprints and footprints at the Chinese Theater, I mean, there were these young girls, like 17, 18, 19, and I was thinking, oh my God, when he was on 21 Jump Street, a lot of them weren't even born yet, probably.
Yeah, no kidding.
But you know, like a lot of actors, he just took that role to get paid one time, the pilot. He was hoping that the pilot wouldn't get picked up. And then, of course, it was, and he was miserable on the show. And you know, he felt that his character of a policeman who poses as a teenager to get information on other kids was immoral. He started getting letters, fan mail. He was on the cover of Teen Beat and all, or Tiger Beat, mm-hmm. and all these magazines. And he would write letters to kids saying, "Oh, don't ask me any advice. I'm more messed up than you are." And even though he was always friendly to the cast and crew and professional, he actually tried to get fired from the show a couple times by suggesting outrageous plot lines, like his character Hansen should have, for example, a peanut butter fetish and roll around without any clothes in the peanut butter. And also he would do things like show up to the set with Elton John glasses and he would complain that his trailer wasn't clean. And, one time he set his underwear on fire in protest. But there was no way the producers were going to let him go. Because he was definitely the star of the show. And when he finally finished his contract, he compared himself to Nelson Mandela.
Because he wanted out, yeah.
Yeah, he definitely wanted out. And I'll tell you, one of the stories I have in there is the night he was arrested in New York at the Mark Hotel, and he got into a fight with Tate Moss, a verbal fight. And the police were called, and he was moved to three different precincts because he kept getting mobbed by different police, female police officers at the precinct. So they had to keep moving him around. And then he made light of the whole incident. He said, no, we didn't have a fight. There was a rat in my room, and I chased it around with a baseball bat and it jumped out the window, and later said it was an armadillo. He kept changing the story. But the funniest thing about it was the person who called the police on him that night was Roger Daltrey of The Who. And The Who, I mean, they used to go on world tours, and they destroy so much hotel property that they come home with like $20 in profits to divvy up. And Roger Daltrey said he had no problem with Johnny Depp breaking up the hotel room, but his problem was that it took him too bloody long. The Who would have done the job in less than a minute.
Oh, there's a rim shot in there. I like that story. That's a good ending to that one. Hey, we only have a couple minutes left, and you have so many vignettes that are fabulous, so I think people would be fascinated by this book. But Jack Nicholson is always one of my favorites back in the day. Give us a Jack story.
Well, I had a couple of the Jack stories in there. The one I really like, being a Laker fan is he started being a Laker fan in 1969 after Easy Rider came out. And at first, he actually cheered against them because he was from New Jersey, but then he found that he couldn't cheer against the home team. And so there were, he obviously became the Lakers' most prominent fan. And, of course, a lot of celebrity Laker fans, they go to the game because they get tickets from their agents and are there to promote something at halftime, get interviewed by reporters. But Jack's there totally for the love of the game, even in losing seasons, which luckily the Lakers haven't had too many of. And there was one time he ran on the court and argued with the referee, and he was thrown out of the arena. There was one time he was in Boston, and the fans started jeering him, so he actually mooned them. But most of the time, he's gotten along great with people, and he sits near the enemy bench. And the only thing is that the other team, they have to be very careful about talking with him because he's a great mimic. And he claims that twice a year, he can make the referees think that the other team is yelling obscenities at them and get technical fouls called on them.
The Jack factor. I love it. Stephen Shohat, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. You're always entertaining. You're a great storyteller. You know that, buddy. Hollywood Story Short, entertaining antidotes about the stars and legends of the movies. You can go on Amazon, get it in your bookstores. Terrific stuff. Stephen, join us again sometime. We appreciate it.
You got it, Kate.
All right, and he just scratched the surface there. He's got so much more that we could have talked about with some of these celebrities. Coming up on the flip side, there's a new horse that's a celebrity thanks to the Kentucky Derby. We're going to talk about that.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Are you prepared? Well, you need to be hardcore prepared. There is a difference. To be hardcore prepared, equip yourself with the latest survival gear available at TacTownGear.com. All TacTown gear has been field tested by Canadian and U.S. forces, so you know it's tough. What kind of gear? 72-hour survival kits as low as $55. Holsters for $21. Ankle holsters as low as $40. Flashlights, knives, binoculars, sleeping bags, boots, weapons, accessories, and much more available only at TacTown. Gear.com. Order now and receive free shipping and a free gift on orders over $175. Need more? Receive free shipping, a free gift, and a 10% discount on orders over $250. Visit TacTownGear.com right now for your preparedness needs. That's TACTownGear.com. TacTownGear.com. Or call TacTown Gear at 418-844-9111. Again, that's 418-844-9111.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Well, the Lakers didn't need a little Jack. You know, we're just talking about Jack Nicholson. They didn't need his secret magic because they beat Utah 104-99. If you watch any of this playoff stuff. And it was pretty much Lakers all the way in the second half of that one. But the sport that really caught my eye over the weekend was the Derby, as it always does. They got their highest, NBC did, TV ratings in 18 years. So what's up with that? People just decided they were going to watch. You think of last year, 50-1 odds on Mind That Bird. You know, that was the most watched Derby in 20 years. How about that? So anyway, this time around, Todd Pletcher was the trainer for a horse that finally got it done for him. He was 0-24 heading in to the Derby. Who was that horse? Take a listen to the call.
And they're off in the Kentucky Derby. American Line SP, there goes Conveyance. He's looking for speed on the outside. Looking at Lucky Head, step on the brakes in the early going. So it's Conveyance. Super Saver is inside. Here comes a pumped up Sydney's Candy on the outside as they make their move headlong for that critical first turn. Conveyance leads. On the outside, Sydney's Candy is second. Line of David is third. Mission Impossible fourth. The Straightly Mine up their coast. Fifth on the outside. Super Saver. Calvin Burrell in there. Close to the rail. Moving into the turn. They're running in sixth. Noble's Promise is now seventh and moving through between horses. American Line is eighth on the far outside into the clubhouse turn. And that's Jackson Ben now running in ninth. The Philly. Devil May Care is tenth and in between. between horses, Patio Prado is now 11th toward the rail. Back Talk is now running in 12th position. Keen's Kitten is now 13th down toward the inside. On the far outside, Homeboy Chris is 14th. Dublin runs in 15th position. Awesome Act still well held for that pace up front. He's now running 17th on the outside. And down toward the rail, it's Stately Victor, break up three. Back to looking at Lucky. He's about 20 lengths from the lead now with five furlongs to go. Then Icebox and Longshot Make Music for Me. The field down the back stretch run. A grueling half mile in the watery going here of 46 seconds flat. And Conveyance leads the field into the fire turn. He leads it now by a length. Jimmy's Candy is on the chase running in second. Noble's Promise. Noble's Promise rallies now through for the inside third. Super Saver is fourth. He's still down inside, but Super Saver's not stuck in both. There's the Philly Devil Make Hair. And she's making a bold run on the far outside, moving toward the leaders. Patty O'Connor is trying to thread his way through now. And double there on the far outside. As the field turns for home, Noble's Promise has the lead. Super Saver down in the fence. Not a good break. Super Saver, Calvin Burrell. One for one from the Derby here. Noble's Promise runs in second. Patty O'Connor is now third. Make Music for Me. Big ball shot now for it on the outside. And they're coming down to the finish. And it is Super Saver. A late run from Icebox. But it's Super Saver and Calvin Burrell. The unflappable Calvin Burrell.
You got to love that. What a call. For me, it makes the hair on my arm stand up. I'm telling you, I love it. And you heard that the winner was Super Saver and Calvin Burrell because he was the jockey who had the mount on Mind That Bird with the 50-1 odds. So now he's claiming that Super Saver, his horse, is going to win the Triple Crown, rather. And what a, you heard that wet track. It was terrible, muddy. 2.5 lengths, that was the win in the Derby. Todd Pletcher, like I said, broke the string of bad luck when it came to the Derby, so now he finally has one, so he's 1 for 25. How about that? Super Saver, Icebox, and Patio Prada. Nobody hit our trifecta challenge. Nobody hit it. This was a tough one because of the conditions at Churchill Downs. It changed the game when the rain hit, and then we're talking about rain and mud. It was bad, windy, almost up until the race. So it was hard to predict, I think, what's going to happen there. If you watched any of this leading up to the Derby, even the so-called experts kind of hedged on where they were going. Although a lot of people liked Super Saver. I was out at the track Lone Star in Texas the day before and talked to somebody who every day was out in the back stretch and, you know, somebody who had been around to see a lot of the thoroughbreds come and go in all kinds of different places. And immediately he told me if it was going to be a muddy track, no doubt Super Saver was the horse. And even if it wasn't going to be muddy, this horse had a heck of a great chance to have a good run. And a good run it did. We'll see if there's going to be a Triple Crown winner. The next race is the Preakness. And the Preakness is May 15th, so you're talking about just a couple of weeks. Matt, I know you were at a Derby party because we were talking about what food you were going to take, and how'd that all work out for you? Did you end up winning any of the fun prizes that they had at this party, like the cash?
I did take home some cash with Super Saver because we do a random betting board where you just fill your name into a spot, and then it gets revealed later what slot you had, and I got the four horse, which was Super Saver.
Good for you. So I had the Super Saver, too, as well, on a ticket, so that was nice. But, boy, I'll tell you, when you start to look ahead to the Preakness, it's tough to make predictions. As when you start mentioning Triple Crown, everybody gets excited, and then the hopes get dashed. Sometimes you get the two legs, and then you go into the Belmont, and it doesn't happen. But this is a fun time of year for horse racing. A lot of people that would normally pay attention.
I don't think there's much other time when people pay attention to horse racing.
Oh, no. Horse racing is the champ. Oh, the sport of kings. Some of you listening can dispute Mr. Matt on that.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, for the majority of the people, as soon as the Triple Crown's done, they're done with horse racing.
America, would you like to respond? 800. Thanks, Matt. He's right. And if you're the big four sports, it's not horse racing. It's football and baseball and hoop, certainly, and hockey. And hockey is like the wicked stepchild to many, and depending on where you are in America. But horse racing is huge. Horse racing is huge, and whether it's the gambling aspect or just people that were involved in horse racing, particularly in areas in the Northeast, some of the big tracks back there. But even in California, there are some huge tracks that people just can't get enough of, like Del Mar, for example, which we had that conversation with Izzy in Missouri, who had loved going to Del Mar, and she was one of the people who took our trifecta challenge. So like I said, we do have hockey, and we've got a lot of exciting action on the ice and on the hardwoods, too, if you're not a fan of what's happening in the NHL. Let's go to Sam, who's listening to us in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
Hello, you.
Well, you probably weren't watching. Were you watching the Kentucky Derby?
Yes, we were. We went to Plattsburgh yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we went up. Okay, we showed our passports. And the guy punches in our names. He says, go, go. I guess someone put a little something beside our names and said, don't you dare think about it. You know, because you know what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we're driving by, and she stops the car. I go, what are you doing? She says, look who's sitting at a desk. It was the guy.
Wow. And you guys did? How about that?
Yeah, so we look at it. We were tempted to go, nah, 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 nah. But then we figured, nah, you know, discretion is the better part of valor. We just looked at him like, you stupid SOB. How could you? Anyway, so we did watch the race in Plattsburgh. Mm. And
terrible track, muddy, blah.
Yeah, blah. Yeah. You just described my cooking, but that's another show. But I found it to be a relatively exciting race, and from what I'm seeing, the way the people are dressed in that part of Kentucky, that seems to be the social event of the year.
Oh, well, the Derby is such a huge event. The hats with the women, and absolutely. But also, too, yeah. If you're on the infield, people just camp out there, try to get on the infield, go
right.
Crazy. It's an amazing thing to see in person. It is. And it is one of the biggest.
And even if this horse doesn't win the Triple Crown, still the stud fees, because he's a Kentucky Derby winner, stud fees for the horse, whoever he's made it at,
are huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if by some fluke he wins the Triple Crown.
No, then it's even bigger, because they haven't had a Triple Crown winner since 78.
Yeah, I remember that. And I know, like, my late father and I, we would watch, like, the Triple Crown. And then every so often they'd mention there was one Canadian horse, or actually two Canadian horses, and one of them won the Derby in 64, a horse named Northern Dancer.
I remember Northern Dancer, yes.
Yeah, oh, by the way, I'm predicting, and he, and your technician is listening to this, I'm predicting, and I'm crossing my fingers when I'm saying this, a Montreal Philadelphia Eastern Final.
Woo! Then we're going to have to exchange those T-shirts. We'll see who wins on that one, because I got my fingers crossed for my Flyers. Habs picked up that win against the Penguins. Woo! How about that second game? All right, you can send me your thoughts on anything that we've talked about right now or whenever, day or night, at americatonight.net.